Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Make an ass out of you and me when you assume, unless you're in the Doom Room. I'm Alex, and I'm doomed.
There's panic in the boardroom because it's time to boom boom in the Doom Room. I'm Justin, and I'm doomed.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about Doom Patrol Season 2, Episode 4, Sex Patrol.
Oh, yeah. It's time. I've been ready for this episode for a while.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is probably Pete's favorite episode of the show, because Pete always feels very comfortable talking about sex, so I'm excited to get into it. But broad overview if you haven't watched the episode in a while. So Danny the Brick has been broken in half, and in order to bring them back to life, the denizens show up at Doom Manor, have a big party, and in the middle of the party, Dorothy starts flexing her age a little bit, trying to push the boundaries, if you will, and things go predictably wrong. They specifically go wrong, though, because of Rita, who is trying to have an orgasm thanks to Flex Mentallo, so that she can get past her mental block and control her powers. This summons a terrifying entity who gives birth to a baby and is only stopped by the sex men. So lots of stuff going on here. And in the middle of all of it, Jane is, of course, wrestling with her identity problems. Cliff is coming to a little bit of a detente with Niles after everything that's gone on. And Cyborg's back. So there you go. Also, Larry's there. So lots of stuff going on. Yeah, go ahead, Justin.
And he's not super sexually charged in this episode. But, I mean, I think what it all comes down to is this is what happens when you don't do your bedtime. You don't honor your bedtime.
Oh, do your bedtime, yes. Yeah, okay. Do your bedtime and honor your bedtime are two different things, and both happen in this episode. So there you go.
Where do babies come from? Well, it's when you do your bedtime.
Oh, boy.
I did really love the artifice here of 2 hours to bedtime, 1 hour to bedtime, yeah. Way past bedtime. Yeah. Very fun title cards throughout. It was just a really nice framing device.
It is fun. Very, like, sort of, I love the comedy of when things are so high stakes, but it's literally just saying bedtime. It's like if The Shining was like about title cards were about like sandwiches or something like that. It's very.
But I mean, you know,
sorry, were you just trying to plus up The Shining? Is that what you're doing over there, Justin? Classic movie. You think you could do better than Kubrick?
Well, I'm just saying The Shining has title cards in the similar fashion that pop up, giving us.
And you think you could do them better? Is what you're saying, what I'm getting from you. Any other Stanley Kubrick classics you want to plus up while you're at it?
Huh? All I'm saying is that 2001 A Space Odyssey, we get it. And when you put the action at the center of the frame, it feels a little spooky. We get a slow dolly move in. It's sort of like scary.
Would you prefer to change HAL 9000 for a sandwich? That seems to be the thing that you like a lot.
Star Wipes is the move.
It is in space, so fair point. Mm-hmm. Pete, you were saying, go ahead, Justin. Or
no, one last thing. Pete, you were a sex man for a while, right?
Oh,
you were on the team.
Nope.
What were you going to say, Pete? Go ahead before you get caught in this particular quagmire.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of things I wanted to jump in about there. But I do think, you know, bedtime is epic. You know, as parents, you know, you finally get some time to yourself. You know, when they finally go down a little bit, or maybe it's time you go to bed yourselves. But still, I loved how epic bedtime is. And I think it was a fun way to portray its epicness in this episode.
I like that you threw out there sort of that sometimes parents put kids to bed and sometimes kids put parents to bed.
That's right. That's
in my
right.
House, I mean, that's,
I've seen them both
first.
Happen. Yeah.
I got to be honest. I know you're about to joke about it, Justin, but honestly, this happens sometimes now because my eldest is 12. And sometimes I'm just wiped out. You know, I got to wake up early on a Wednesday morning to watch my Star Wars show. So I'm very tired by the end of the day, all tuckered out.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And my kid comes in, gives me a kiss on the head, says, "Good night, Daddy," and turns off the light.
And then she goes and pours a scotch and says, "God, these parents.
tired being a 12-year-old smoking a stogie." Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sex. Pete, what'd you think about sex? You like sex? I am honestly curious because this is, again, not being glib or anything like that. I know you generally are like, I don't like stuff like this. You tend to call it creepy, but I know you really like Doom Patrol. And obviously, this is a more satirical take on it. It's not, other than the ghosts, actual sex happening the most of the time. So what'd you think? How did this episode strike you? You do, on the other hand, really like Ghostbusters, so there is that.
Yeah, this a lot is of a sex weird, there.
You know, this I thought this was funny. I thought it was done really well. I got a little worried when the baby thing started to happen, but I thought that was resolved really hilariously. And, you know, so, yeah, I overall thought this was a blast. I thought it was really fun.
All right, glad to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, I just think this episode does such a good job of being sexy, of like creating sexual tension between the characters. But also we as the viewer, it's like, whoa, there's all this sex in the air. Where's it going to go? Mm-hmm. And then, but still be a Doom Patrol episode that is full of like super funny, weird characters. The villain like comes out of nowhere and vanishes immediately. Like, it's just great. The show is so smart. And this is one of my favorite episodes just from a pure creative standpoint. And it was fun. Even Cliff, the villain of the series, was he's loosening up and he is, you see him just with a little help of ecstasy.
Yeah, oh my God,
finally lets his anger go for even just a little bit.
Well, if we take it back to the beginning of the episode, it's such a fun moment to kind of like, even at the title card, they put Sex Pistols in the back, you know, just a little foreshadowing to let you know what's going down. It's fun.
Yes, we do start off in London, 1978. Pete, I know you've been having some issues with the timeline since this is
all over the place. Time does not matter on the show.
Well,
everybody can live
matters
way
very
past
specifically.
100, you know, it doesn't matter.
Well, what did you think about this? This is more in your timeline, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1978 England. Yeah, definitely right in my sweet spot there, bro. Yeah.
Born on the streets of England. That's a little ragamuffin just trying to get his porridge.
Now, the big thing that we get set up here at the end that pays off towards the end is Niles very specifically tells Dorothy not to wish, never to wish.
Yeah.
And throughout the episode, what's his name?
The Candlemaker.
Candlemaker.
I want to call him Candle Monster, but it's Candlemaker.
That's right.
Both
keeps
apply.
Pushing her to disobey her bedtime, to kill Daddy, I think.
Oh, man, that
got
dark.
Yeah.
I got real worried about that.
And but stab a brick with a knife? Is that going to do the job?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Have you ever tried?
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of, like, brick enemies, and I've been trying to find a way to beat them.
Yeah. Ever since that brick house incident, right?
Yeah. It was a brick shit house, and I did the wrong thing.
Oh, boy.
But the other thing that I thought was interesting here, and I don't know if you guys picked on this, up on this, or this bothered you as well, but it bothered me in a good way, is Candlemaker is talking in complete sentences right now, right? Like, by the end of the episode, which is more disturbing somehow than him just going, wish, make wish.
That got real.
Make wish,
that got real scary there. Stop.
Make
it.
Wish, please, Pete. Please stop. Don't go bedtime, Pete.
But what was weird was, like, at the end, you know, Candlemaker finally had enough. Like, she was finally ready to listen to Candlemaker at the end, and he was like, "Now go talk to your friends."
I think he's playing hard to get. He's playing hard to wish. He's just being a little bit tricky. Like, I don't know. Have you ever met a Candlemaker? They are sneaky, a sneaky people. I'm much more of a butcher baker guy.
Nice. I always went with the king.
Really?
Yeah. Weird. Wait, isn't that the same thing? They all go to the king? No? Am I thinking of something different?
I don't know what
I've
you're
got to say,
about.
Most nursery rhymes sort of
I'm thinking of Old King
Orbiter
Call.
Yes.
Old King Call was a merry old soul.
He's a merry old soul. And a merry old soul was he.
And he summoned his butcher, his baker, his candlestick maker. All three.
And they had a big orgy.
Oh, boy.
Sex,
oh,
patrol. Boy. Sex patrol. We're getting a little unfocused here, or at least I certainly am. So why don't we focus back and talk about Cliff? One thing that I wanted to mention here is after episodes of us talking about however you feel about Cliff, he's spending a lot of time screaming, nay, screeching at Niles. I think we can all agree on that, whether he's justified or not. But they hit a little bit of a detente here, which I thought was really nice. And it was a very fun scene where...
Oh, yeah. When he's just... Niles is rolling behind. He's like, Cliff? You know, just a very calm, quiet moment. I thought that was hilarious. How was Florida? That's great.
I like that. And I also just loved the simplicity of him offering up first the medical term for ecstasy and then saying ecstasy and Cliff being like, what? And then the shot of him being like, and just shrugging was very fun and cutting to Cliff partying. Yep. And it also just deals with the reality of Cliff is a brain in a jar. He's been like, I can't touch anything, but you can still do stuff to his brain. You know,
you can still dance.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, and I really
like
that scene.
Doing the robot. That was fun.
A lot of great Cliff lines. I mean, Niles' line, I'd like to punch me too. I think this is the kind of thing that I've been talking about, how Cliff is so angry. And sometimes you just need to find that relief of the anger for the person that you're mad at. And this is it. Like, Niles is way more candid than he's been. He's not trying to, like, lecture him. Cliff is, like, in a bad spot and open to, like, a new idea. And Niles gives it to him. And so it's like... one step in the right direction, which I thought was cool. And while we're talking about Cliff, like, I feel like one big thing about this episode is all these characters are very, like, nice. They're very kind at the end of the day, including Cliff. And I just think all the anger has sort of clouded over that or paved over that. And that's why he feels so out of place in the show right now. And hopefully this is a step in the direction where we can get back to sort of that soft heart in the dancing robot body.
I think it's a turning point, and I think we get to see it. It's a turning point where he's trying to bond with Jane, or I guess it's Miranda / Hammerhead / whoever is particularly in charge at any given time. Scarlet Harlot. Should I not have waggled my eyebrows while I was saying
that? Yeah, that was super creepy,
It was an impulse. I couldn't even stop it.
Well, and that's the most sexual move you do, right, Alex?
Yeah.
Well,
there is nobody more sexual than Groucho Marx.
As Danny says, do better, bro. Do better.
Can't. Wow. I can't. I refuse to. Too old. Can't get better now.
That's
a horrible thing to say.
But we do get these bonding moments with Jane or whoever is controlling the body. And I do think that points to Cliff getting back to basics after hitting rock bottom here. But it also points to this conflict that's going on with Jane that I do think is treated in a really kind of more nuanced way this episode, even though Jane is still in mind jail, the fact that they are, like you're talking about, Justin, all are kind to each other and trying to work with each other and ultimately are like, no, the child, that is the person that we have the best interest for. That is our goal, to the point where I guess it wasn't Hammerhead, it's the one with the silver eyes that I'm forgetting, the doctor.
Yeah.
Comes after the, what is this? Oh my gosh, the shadowy mister.
Cuddles.
Yes. shadowy Mr. Evans and shoves the baby back inside of him to save the world, which
great
fun
move.
Moment. Good stuff.
But that was Hammerhead who shoved it in there.
Oh, was it Hammerhead?
Yeah.
Okay.
It feels like
they
a
all look
move.
Very similar.
They're all played by the same actors. I don't know if you've noticed that.
No,
it's a nuanced performance. And as a classically trained actor, let me just say, like, you can vanish into a role. And it's sometimes it's even hard to tell who's doing it, but it's actually the same actor playing all these characters. Little behind the scene theatrical.
That is wild.
What I do enjoy about Jane's kind of like who's running things was we kind of saw the painter break. And then it was fun to see all these other kind of Janes fail. And then also, Cliff's hug broke Hammerhead. And she's like, I don't want to deal with this hugging robot. Fine, Jane, you can, have it. I thought that was such a kind of fun way to kind of go through that. It's really important. What I like about this show is it really everybody kind of takes a turn being really important to saving the day. Like if there wasn't a Hammerhead to kind of shove that baby back up inside to save the day, you know what I mean? Like this whole thing would have been for nothing. So, I really like how we kind of take turns shining how important each character is.
Speaking of which, you want to move over and talk about Rita and Flex Metallo, because I thought that was a great storyline, and they have such good chemistry in this episode. Very fun.
I love this ship. Is this a good one for you?
Yeah, this
Fleeta?
Ship works.
You a Fleeta?
But as we remember, Flex already has the love of his life. You know what I mean? So
yes, but
this
unfortunately,
can't happen.
She got dusted.
Oh, come on, man. Give him some time. Give him some time to get past
that. I think he's had some time. He's been rocking around the world with the Danisons. He's ready to go. He's ready to flex.
I ship it. I think they're very cute together. I think he clearly likes her, and she seems to like him, even though she's kind of literally using him for sex at this point. But the whole setup there of keep your nose on the dot, so that he doesn't watch her, and then later on his nose is attached to the dot and he can't get it off. That's very fun. But it, as usual with the show, even though it starts with this very funny, very silly setup, it leads towards something much bigger and much more emotional for Rita in terms of her past, in terms of how her mother treated her, which ultimately comes back when she treats Dorothy the same way and says, darling, please, you have other talents.
Oh, that was awful, Rita. Awful moment for you. Just, you know what I mean? Like, don't just, as you're falling asleep, say the worst thing you can to a child. I mean, Jesus.
Well, but like, I mean,
that's
Rita's
the line that scarred her, and then she's going to kind of like pass on this albatross. I mean, come on.
Well, that's what, I mean, people do. That's a true thing. And Rita, I think, is a good person, but she's dealing with all of her stuff in this episode and sort of gets emotionally opened up over the course of it and isn't really in control of everything.
Yeah.
So, that was a bummer, but like, I see why it happened.
It's definitely, like you're saying, it's very true. I mean, as more seriously than earlier, as a parent, it is one of my number one fears that I will accidentally say something like that. Because let's be honest, not everybody is talented at everything. And as a parent, though, you want to encourage your kids in whatever direction they want to go in because they're unformed at this point. You know, maybe something that they're not so good at yet, they'll practice a lot and get really good at it. Mm-hmm. But
and I think we as parents don't want to repeat the mistakes of our past, like getting our children to do something embarrassing, like going to podcasting.
Don't do that to your kid.
I'm not going to do that.
Come on,
I hide the microphones. I record in a hidden closet. Like it's my secret. It's my secret. It's my albatross, Pete. Like you said.
Oh man.
They asked me if there's any money in this. I said no, and they're like, good to know.
Yeah. don't do it, kid. Don't do it. You can do anything. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't talk for a living. Oh, God.
Just to talk about Flex for a second, Flex is such a great character and great chemistry with Rita. Like, he shows up, starts flexing, does a little flex sway on the place to set up the party. He's making some muffins to appear on the tray, like Peck muffins,
cupcakes.
I'm assuming.
There were cupcakes.
Okay. Really? Wow. Very adamant about that.
Well, I mean, there's a big difference between a muffin and a cupcake. That's a completely different kind of party.
Just the frosting?
Their insides are completely different. I mean, what are you coming at me for, dude? Cupcakes and muffins are nothing alike, bro.
Same thing, basically. Same shape.
Oh, my God. That's insane. That is an insane thing to say.
No, wait. For your birthday party, I'm getting you a dozen blueberry muffins. Is that what you want? We'll put candles in them, and then you can't make a wish.
Send them in the morning, fine. That's great. You know,
every year on my birthday, my family makes me a large muffin, and I blow out the candles on it.
That's a weird thing.
I've never noticed a difference there. That's weird. Yeah.
But one thing I did want to ask you, Justin, as a classically trained actor, mm-hmm. you know, we had this moment where Rita got real defensive of her process, and she was like, "Don't question my process." Has that ever happened to you? Were you ever like doing something that maybe someone thought was weird, but it was really just
for
part
sex?
Of
the You're talking about sex?
Or acting? What the fuck, man?
It was a very sexual episode for Rita.
No, but you want me to talk about the blank slate.
You want me to talk about my sexual process right now? I can't believe you would ask me that. But
game. He's not asking you to talk about it. He's just asking if anybody has ever asked any questions about it.
If anybody questioned your process.
And let me be honest. Yes, people have questioned it a lot over the years. And just to put a point on it, yeah, I am a classically trained actor, but I've never said my complete title. I'm a classically trained sex actor.
Oh,
so, okay, man. That's why I
How come
able
you didn't
to,
get a sex ghost role then?
Great point. I auditioned. I'm not dead.
Well, I auditioned for it because I was more trained in modern sex acting techniques by Uta Hagen.
Oh, boy.
Yes, I've seen your work, Alex. It's a little confusing.
Well, it's more the sense of sex than the actual act of sex itself.
I'm sorry, right.
Trying to get it across.
Take an abstract. Pete, you asked the question. I'm just trying to answer to the best of my knowledge. And that knowledge is sexy.
Yeah. Let's talk about Cyborg, who, as we talked
about, I want to talk about Rita a little bit more before we, like, the whole thing, like, the way they just get into this story and the sexual repression mixed in and that being sort of what is holding back her powers is the block against that, I thought was so great. And the fact that she sort of, like, has intuited that and Flex, her attraction to Flex, is, like, her way to move through that. And then the way that it just cuts to in a very, like, Fifth Element style thing to shadowy Mr. Stevens waking up and being like, oh yeah, my head periscope is up and I see some hot shit happening over at Doom Manor. Great. They move so quickly into that. And it's just a great release, an almost sexual release for Rita in this episode.
Well, and while we're staying on this plot line, we mentioned them earlier, but all of this stuff with the shadowy Mr. Evans, the sex men, it's almost, obviously it ties into the overall plot, but it's so unimportant to anything that happens. Like the sex men are like, here's our names. This is what we do. They run in and then run out. And that's pretty much it. And that's just a very, very fun way to put it. Normally I'm not into a ton of extraneous elements in an episode, but it works so well here. And just like the offhand way, he's like, yeah, my name is Kettles. It could have been Had Stuff. And they just move on from there.
Also, I love how Niles knows who they are. You know what I mean? Everybody's like, what is
the
Niles
men.
Is like, oh, don't worry, guys. It's the sex men.
I've tangled with you many a time in my exploits. Just in a lot of fun there. The great saxophone hits every time they're there. They're the first time we see them, they're talking about a worldwide sextinction. Mm-hmm. Just great stuff that throws us in the sexual deep end before finding their natural sexual conclusion. But Ghostbusters, Pete.
Yeah, huge fan of Ghostbusters. This is a really weird take on it. The sex ghosts were hysterical. I mean, I guess they didn't have the effects to kind of, I wanted to see them shoot their laser guns a little bit and capture a ghost, but we didn't get to see it. So what are you going to do?
Well, they were probably trying to, you know, withhold. They want to wait till the end to really like let it loose, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To really just
you think we're
going to
see them again?
Maybe.
Oh, boy.
We need to get that release. You know what I'm talking about?
No, that's what I'm talking about.
No. Move on and talk about Cyborg, who we've been complaining about how he's been off on his own storyline, even though I think we've all been enjoying the storyline. He's very separate. Justin, you called out with the last episode. Why don't they just give him a call and bring him over? And now here he is just showing up and hanging out with everybody, which felt abrupt in its own way. What did you guys think about that?
Well, it was sort of like a re-entry episode for him. He even says, like, I'm back. I don't know why, but I'm here now. Yeah. So it definitely felt that way. But and also, like, he is sort of a repressed character, it feels like, when it comes to a lot of things. And I just thought the conversation that he has with Morally
Corrupt,
Corrupt was so good. And just a really great idea and great speech by Morally Corrupt, and perfect for what Cyborg needs to hear for what he's going through right now.
Yeah. Also, speaking of great speeches, the Danny letter at the end that Dorothy reads was really great.
That was great. Yeah. I just to take a quick step back, Pete, you're a big fan of Morally Corrupt in her first appearance. What did you think about her here?
She's killing it. I mean, really great stuff. You know, I mean, sometimes the answer is you got to party harder. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you got to turn it up. I just thought this was such a kind of like great use of Morally Corrupt as well as Danny. Like this kind of like party that's trying to, improve people's lives. It's great.
Let's talk about Larry briefly. And I say briefly because there's surprisingly not a lot going on with him this episode. I know we got a big focus on him last episode with Pain Patrol while he was being tortured. But considering Danny was so tied into this episode, considering Danny was so tied to that huge Larry episode last season, I was surprised we didn't get more of him.
Well, I mean, he did go right from being tortured to thrown into a party. That's got tough transition for anybody. But it was hysterical. Like, he got to dance a little bit, and then Rita immediately ditched him. And, you know, he kind of was feeling awkward. And then that guy came up to him and it's like, cool bandages. Like, yeah, if I take him off, everybody dies. Like, hilarious. Just really funny, awkward kind of first date interaction stuff. I thought that was really funny. Unfortunately, LT kind of mopes for the rest of the episode, kind of mopes it around, but it's understandable. You know what I mean? Like, not everybody can be living their best life. You know what I mean?
Well, I think for two reasons. Sex is difficult for him because of the whole irradiated deadly body side of it.
Right.
But B, it's also difficult for him emotionally because of what happened in his life, how he was closeted his whole life and had his secret relationship that he ultimately pushed away because of what he was going through and feeling. So, like, it makes sense to me that he is, like, just not emotionally available to be a part of it. Like, he dances for a second and is like, oh boy, like, he literally sighs. He's the guy at the orgy in the back who's just not there for it, you know? Pete, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm the guy in the
back. We've all been there.
Yeah, I'm holding hors d'oeuvres, you know, just like asking.
Oh, you're working at the orgy. Yeah, you're serving. Yeah, I hope you're not like serving anything on toothpicks because that's like bad orgy energy.
That's bad mushroom orgy etiquette.
Yeah. I got Gatorade and hors d'oeuvres.
Gatorade.
Well, you gotta keep going.
Whoever orgasms first, you dump a bucket of Gatorade on them.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, everybody, go home. He's the champion.
Good work.
Yeah. Orgies are a speed contest, as far as I know. I hope so.
Because I've won a lot of orgies over the years. Oh,
terrible segue, but let's turn over and talk about Dorothy, who is such a big part of this episode. I love the focus on her here. I thought the development of the character, who did she murder?
Danny.
No.
She's just she's a brick dropper. It's okay. Yeah. Danny's fine.
I think we got kind of the real reveal in this episode that maybe she wanted to drop the brick because she didn't want to go back to prison. And that's why she's got that shiv. She's not going back. She's not going back.
I mean, I agree she doesn't want to go back, but that's more of an issue between her and Niles. And Danny's the one who's going to bat for her and saying, hey, you can't do this to her again. I know it's an easy answer for you, but you need to be better. I'm going to be better. That's why I'm a friggin' wheel. Woo!
Well, what do you think is going on there with Danny the Wheel?
All right. So do you think they disappeared to like Wheelville or like where did they go to? You know what I mean?
You're talking
like a
about
trailer park, like maybe
it's
some
Wheelsburg.
Wheelsburg. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay.
No, I think that Danny's going to become a sweet car. I think Pete, you should be very excited about that because Danny wants to move. Danny's been in the street.
How can he keep all those people in the car? You know what I mean?
How can he keep all those people in the street? He's going to be Danny the car. He's going to drive on the street. He's changing it up. He's taking the other side.
Wow.
You know
this
what I mean?
This is crazy. This is exciting.
They're taking the other side.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Moving back to Dorothy, though, I think one of the big things we got in this episode was addressing her age and her mental age, physical age, actual age. And I thought that this was a really interesting exploration of this because it is a little difficult as a viewer to get a handle on the fact that mentally, she's like 10 or 11 years old, but physically, she is over 100 years old.
Right. But either way, you don't want to be the person walking around the party sipping other people's drinks. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a good look. You know what I mean?
Not until the end of the night.
Right. Exactly. Either, then you can have whatever you want.
I'm saying it doesn't matter what time it is. That's not a good look. You shouldn't do that, man.
No, you just take out the cigarettes and finish it all up and clean up the party.
Oh, that's an ashtray. You're drinking an ashtray.
Oh, geez. No wonder it's so dry.
Any other moments from the episodes that you want to call out before we start to wrap up here?
While we're talking about Dorothy, great rendition of Pure Imagination from
She gets a solo, like a little piano solo here. It was hard to stay mad at her during that, but I managed.
It's weird that you're able to hold on to that anger. Cliff, the official Cliff of the podcast. Just a couple great lines and moments. I loved "It's" and then cutting to the bedtime title card. Very fun. With great musculature comes great responsibility. Perhaps, finally, great to hear that phrase that's been so long. Mm-hmm. Cliff's line, you have just embarrassed me in front of the sex men.
Yeah. I also think Cliff's line of, I know that guy. They're talking about the sex demon. And he's like, Cliff's like, I know that guy. Danced with him. Oh, wait.
You so
know,
funny.
Like, oh, my God.
They're not going to come help clean the house when the Danisons vanish into the wheel. Super fun. Rita's G-spot almost ended the world.
Yeah, nobody wants to talk about that. Yeah.
I also thought, I mean, this is a little thing, but the whole thing with the disco ball at the beginning was very fun and sweet as well.
Beautiful.
Both Rita tried to use her powers and then the Denizen saying, did it work? And she's like, yep, worked perfectly.
Yes, great.
It's over. That was good. And then the moment with making Dorothy float in the air as well with Flex using his powers was really sweet. Flex is just a great character. Really like that guy a lot.
Add him to the team.
Yeah.
One more thing about Cyborg. I mentioned like last time, why don't they call him?
Mm-hmm.
And then here he's like, Grid, did I get any text message? I was like, he should buzz when he gets a text. Make his I don't know, his
just
nipple buzz or
over.
Something.
Yeah.
Just one little bit, just a little little tingle in the nip. He's like, oops, someone's texting me. That's what I want.
That's how I know somebody's texting me.
Exactly. My internal body. Like you hear a little ringing in your ear and it's like, someone's talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
And when a little bang bang in your nipple and you're like, someone's texting me.
Little bang bang in your nipple. Before we wrap up here, who was most doomed this episode? Pete? Who was most
Dorothy.
Doomed?
Dorothy, no question. But also the fact that nobody cared about her bedtime by the end of it was just a little sad and hurt inside.
I guess really the who's doomed is everybody's sleep debt in this episode because no one's getting a full eight by any means.
Justin, who do you think is most doomed this episode?
I mean, I got to go with Larry in this episode. He is the only one who doesn't get sort of
doesn't
that.
Party.
He doesn't party. He doesn't get any of the release, the emotional sort of catharsis of it. And that's been his whole thing throughout. It feels like sometimes he gets closer to having some sort of release, but then he's always back sort of under wraps, pun intended. And I hope that he's able to find that release or else he truly will be doomed.
I'm going to give it up for Rita in this episode as most doomed because even though I love Rita, don't get me wrong, but even though she did push forward and get past this block, she ultimately pushed that back down She repressed whatever was going on with those memories. She lashed out at Dorothy. So I think all the progress that she's had over the past couple of the episodes potentially might have been reversed completely in this one, despite the fact that she was the one driving most of the action. So it should be interesting to see how she deals with things going forward. And yeah. If you would like to support this podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast on YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Doom Patrol, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. And now, as always, we're going to end with a piece of advice from Pete LePage.
Hey, sometimes things go too far and you can't shove that baby back in, all right?
Shove that baby back, baby back in. That's true. As parents, I think Alex and I could both agree. That's 100%
I've been trying every night.
Oh, man.
My wife hates it. And I'm sorry, guys. I have to run. I just got a bang in my nip, so I'll text you guys. Check you guys later.
Peace, man.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.